This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum, sisters, brothers. There is something going on in Gaza beyond what you're seeing, and I want to speak about that today. Because a friend said to me something yesterday which was so interesting, and I thought, yeah, that is what we are missing from this whole narrative. She said, what we don't realize is that the unseen realm is activated. The unseen realm is activated. And then she said, no, the unseen realm in this horror show of what's happening here in what we know as dunya, the unseen realm is active. Now let's have a look at what that means for the people of Gaza. A lot of non-Muslims right now, you're asking, how are they so resilient? How is it that the mothers, after the screaming moment of horror, how is it that the father carrying multiple bodies, having lost his wife and all his children, will say, I must stay strong. These are in Jannah and I will one day meet them again. What is this belief? The Palestinian people in Gaza specifically don't have belief. What do I mean by that? Yaqeen. They have tawakkul. So belief is, I read the holy book and I go, yeah, there is a God. Most people around the world, in fact, most of the world does say that. But how does that actually impact us when a big catastrophe falls and there is nothing like this right now? And I want to speak about the veils being torn from what this world is really all about through the sacrifice of the Gaza people, Allahu Akbar. They live one foot in the unseen realm because they don't just have belief. They don't just read and say, yeah, okay, that seems true to me. Shrug, get on with your life. They say, this means that we must. And they go and act on their lives. And if you don't understand that, if you think that seems crazy and bizarre and amazing, I really get where you're coming from. Because I went to Gaza in 2008 with that mindset. I was a mainstream journalist, did all the things of mainstream life, not particularly religious, but Christian with a small c. And I found myself during the holy month of Ramadan in Gaza. And at the time, they'd been under siege just a couple of years. And we thought, surely it can't get any worse than this. Surely human cruelty cannot allow the world to encompass 1.5 million people, as it was back then, in a concentration camp, a concentration of people by race, culture, creed, or politics, and then treatment of harshness by their guards, by the ones who won't let them leave as a concentration camp. I make no bones about that. Look it up. You know, it's not an open-air prison for many reasons, but I've done that. I've spoken about that. What I found that really frustrated me during those visits, those early visits to Gaza, was why aren't they more angry? Because at the time, believe it or not, subhanAllah, the Palestinian people that I met, and also in the West Bank, calmed me down. Because I was horrified. From the moment I set foot in Palestine, in the occupied West Bank, and in Gaza, the besieged Gaza Strip, one word came to my mind. This is apartheid. The people who are painting themselves as, oh, poor me, the victims, why doesn't everybody love me and just do what I say? Everybody hates us, poor us, were afflicting an absolute apartheid on the people that they were saying were making them feel victimized. Nonsense. I was angry. When I saw the poverty in Gaza just then, not now, can't even imagine it now, unimaginable horrors of a medieval kind. But back then, I remember sitting in refugee camps, and in refugee camps that are now gone, Jabalia, Rafah, Khan Yunis, centers of concentrated people who had already been made refugees and were living a poor life, a getting by life because of an occupation on their original land. Allahu Akbar. I was angry. I said, well, how come you guys aren't fighting every day? How come you're not all in the resistance? How come the resistance is relatively small? And you know what they said? Don't be angry. Our faith teaches us that we have the right to resist, but it doesn't teach anger. And I thought that the Palestinian people had a kind of Stockholm syndrome, right? Stockholm syndrome is where you get taken captive and you kind of fall in love with your captive. So far from wanting to harm them, you actually want to see them do well. And I thought that they all had a kind of, you know, a mass unconscious, you know, illness, because they weren't as angry as I was. You see, I'm European. I'm Muslim now, alhamdulillah. My identity now is Muslim. And that's my practice, and that's my daily life, and that's my spirituality, and that's my heart. But you know what? I grew up in the paradigm and the framing of Europeanism. And we're violent. There's a violence in us that, you know, you smite us and we're going to smite you three times as hard. That when I hear Israel saying, there's no proportionality, right? What we're seeing on the ground now in Gaza are the resistance fighters, legal under international law, I'm not making this up, legal under UN charters, you're allowed to resist the occupation. People coming into your homes and your villages and killing you and your children, you're legally allowed to resist that. Like a householder has a certain level of resistance to someone coming with a gun and trying to, you know, hurt their family. The Palestinians have these rights. Right now, there are fights going on between one of the most heavily armed nations on earth, with their tanks and their guns and their helicopters and their Apaches and their carpet bombing, and groups of locals trying to protect, where bodies and their few arms, their homes and their families. And then you have army commanders from the other side saying, because there's resistance here, and I'm going to post this, you're going to have a look at these actual quotes coming out in the media. Because of the resistance and we've lost some soldiers who are armed, you're going to be made to pay. What is the payment they're talking about? War crimes. Because you're resisting in this part of Gaza, we're going to totally annihilate several buildings, a whole neighborhood with hundreds of people. Subhanallah. I was angry. But they who are very controlled and not angry and spiritual. And what I'm seeing there now, subhanAllah, I think what the world is seeing is a ripping away of the veils of what this life actually is. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, in many narrations talked about this world as something. It's filthy, it smells. Do you want to go, if there was a dead carcass of a camel or a goat over there and it had been decomposing for many days, would you want to go and hug it? Would you want to carry it? You wouldn't go near it. You'd go, look, that is awful, and you'd walk away. That's this world. And within that, Allah Ta'ala has made beauty in it and the possibility of kindness. But the reality of it is that any moment it can break down into some violent, horrible thing that we should want to escape, and so we shouldn't be too attached. So the Gazan people are not attached to this world, and they're teaching us detachment. Subhanallah. They know all too well, because for 75 years they haven't been allowed an attachment, and all of this is Allah's decision, and He is perfection. That they've seen the reality, like the next life is better than this. And don't get confused. This doesn't mean that we're a death cult, by the way. I have never met people who love their children more than the Palestinians. Or I can say with as much joy. I've never met so many children as in Gaza. I remember, you know, going and going, where are all these kids coming from? Because in the European countries, we don't have that many children and we tend to hide them away. You know, in Turkey, it's a bit different. You see the kids outside, but maybe on this street, five or six. In a street like this in Gaza, in Jabalia, you'd see 150 children. Well, you would have. This life is not it. And they know that, subhanAllah. And the Palestinians, as a famous poet once said, teach life. They teach beauty and calmness and detachment. And they have tawakkul, and with every shred of their being, after the shock has come, and even during the shock, some of them will say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." These amazing videos of a brother, and he was going to a family member, "Hey, are you a man?" over the corpses of their family. "You a man? Come on. This is it. Allah shows us. They're shaheed. We're happy." In other words, their horror in this world is over and they're in a better place. And they don't just believe it, which is a low level. They know it and then they live it and they implement it. Allahu Akbar. There are angels present with the people there. None of this makes sense in a worldly sense. How can it be that a tiny little patch of land, no bigger than Glasgow in Scotland, is the focus of so much bombardment now? I've seen brothers laughing, going, "Yeah, oh, here's another missile. There it goes. Oh, there's another one." I don't care, because Allah is with me. This does not take away from the war crimes that are being done. It doesn't mean we're ignoring them. It means we have to activate ourselves to be strong in this, to have absolute belief in Allah Ta'ala, to have absolute knowledge that the next life is the best life and that the unseen realm is active. There are angels involved in this. The smell of musk all throughout Gaza. Stay strong, brothers and sisters. Activate yourselves. Number one, muraqabah. Know that if we don't see Allah, He sees us in this moment. And the Palestinians won't be asked to pay for this. But you and I will be asked, what did you do for your brothers and sisters? Did you not feel anything? Did you carry on partying and eating and go to the cinemas? Or did you actually make a difference and stand with them? And if you're interested in knowing the reality of this life, you can get a Quran from the link below, inshallah, for free. Find out why you're here. And find out why these people are extraordinary. Because this life is a stinking carcass. And the victors are the believers. And right now, as our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, when there is fitna, when there are problems, when there is terrible trials and tribulations in the ummah, in the Muslim world, you know where you're going to find belief? In Sham. In Sham, in Palestine, in the Holy Land. Allahu Akbar.